And on today's Windy City Queercast, Mitchell Fain and I are still hanging out with the sexy singer-songwriter Gregory Douglas. I just love this guy. His new CD is going to play all throughout the show, and I'm thrilled to have a chance to sit down and talk with him. Plus, Dolly Parton, what is she thinking? And is she or isn't she? News, entertainment, much, much more. Stay tuned.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Queercast show number 289, heading close to 300. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Cheetah Rivera.
You are Cheetah Rivera.
No, actually, I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm really trying to just have you on as many shows as I can in March before you head away.
I know, I'm going away.
Sail away, sail away.
Come sail away, come sail away.
We're going to play that for you as you head out with Alexander Billings.
Yes, oh, wouldn't that be, I want her to stand at the port in New Orleans as I take off.
She'll have to pick up your slack in June.
Yeah, because she's going
to
be here.
Stephen's going to have to pick up your slack in April and May.
We're hoping to get you landlocked
long enough to...
Yeah, because I'm hoping that... Because I'm going away with Second City on a cruise ship, a Norwegian cruise line with Second City, the improv comedy.
Are you playing Patty Blagojevich at any point?
I am not playing Patty Blagojevich. I would fucking love to. If anybody hasn't seen that show, it's really funny.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, God, it's funny.
Yeah.
My friend Lauren's in it. She's one of the women I met
in my
last
cruise. You
may
have to get me tickets because I hear they're hard to come by.
Yeah, I'll try to talk to Lauren, see what she can get.
Yeah. They should advertise.
She's really... Yeah, absolutely.
They should.
I have to say, Second City has, just as far as, like, gay and lesbian stuff, this being the Windy City Queercast, tell you what, my jobs with Second City have never, they have never, ever been less than supportive of any sort of queer content that I put in a show.
Cool?
Even for like the like lowest common denominator cruise ship audience.
Yeah.
If I want to queen it up in a show
or
be a little bit more subversive than that.
Well, that's why they hire you. Come on.
I mean, it's like,
that's why I pay you extra.
You can't be dirty.
It's like getting naked when you're doing the production of Hair.
Yes.
You get an extra 50.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you can't be dirty. There's still rules about language because it's family stuff, but they never, like, gay relationship stuff. Because you end up in an improv and you're standing next to a guy and somebody gives a suggestion and they think, some douchebag audience member thinks it'd be funny to be like, gay, because they think that you're going to make fun or they'll get to make fun of you. And I have to say, I've had the experience with the actors that I work with and also the directors, whereas if that happens, I get to play a realistic gay improv scene that's hopefully also very funny without ever giving in to the original impetus. You know, you go to improv shows and somebody always yells proctologist or gay
because
they think it's the first time anybody's ever fucking yelled that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm just giving respect to Second City for allowing me to be funny in the way that I'm funny.
And represent gay characters
Absolutely, on stage.
Hey, you know, that's actually a really great segue because we had that whole conversation about Grey's Anatomy firing Brooke Smith a while ago.
Yeah.
And it was like, because she's boring.
Yes, exactly. She's boring.
But and ABC definitely has done right by gay characters on Ugly Betty and Brothers and Sisters, yeah. And others. But they have now inked a deal with the girl who plays Arizona, the woman plays Arizona. She's the pediatric doctor, and who's got the little wheels in her tennis shoes and is super, super cute. And who's a lesbian. And she's going to be on, she was supposed to come on just for 3 episodes in January to be a new love interest for Sarah Ramirez, who we do love. And now she has been inked to be on for the rest of the season.
Oh, cool.
And return with an option to return next fall. And she's Jessica Capshaw. She is Kate Capshaw's daughter.
Is she Kate Capshaw's daughter with Steven Spielberg?
No.
Or previous husband?
Previous. But she's very cute. And I think Kate Capshaw
beautiful.
Is hot.
Oh, she's always been hot.
Always been hot. I mean, Elle Macpherson and Kate Capshaw, lesbians, you know what I'm talking about. It's a girl thing. Hot.
It's not just a girl thing, because I remember Kate Capshaw in the, was it the second Indiana Jones movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember her singing Anything Goes in Japanese, and I loved her a lot. I loved her a lot. Also, talk about winning the fucking lottery.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, actually, they just lost a shitload of money with this whole Madoff thing.
I just mean,
much Madoff money could they have lost?
I mean, really? I just mean, like, you know, marrying Spielberg.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems like a Amy Irving.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's another one I was totally hot for her, too.
Wow. Hadass. She's Hadass in Yentl.
Oh. I loved her. It made me feel very weird when Yentl was hitting on her or was hitting on Yentl. I was like, oh, I feel funny. I feel funny down there.
Gorgeous.
I don't know what to do. Yeah, Yentl just came out in the big new DVD.
Oh, who are you talking to?
Do you have it?
Of course I do.
I didn't get it yet.
Who do you think you're talking to?
I don't know. I didn't get it yet.
I haven't even actually watched it. I got it and I left it at work.
Can you come down and can we watch it before you leave?
Absolutely.
Can that be one of our last
And then can
we
watch like the commentary?
Yes.
We have to watch it with like the commentary
Let's
on.
Just watch it with the commentary.
Let's just watch it because we've seen it.
Because we've seen it. I want to know if either one of them.
You're a demon. I am not a demon. I want to study. Listen, I know God will understand. I'm not so sure about the neighbors.
Oh,
I'm quoting Yentl. Fucking high ass gay. High.
No, maybe we're just
gay.
High. I can't stop laughing. I can't stop laughing. But anyhow, I'm very excited that Sarah Ramirez and Jessica Capshaw will get to have this little thing. Because
how do we make Sarah Ramirez a bigger star?
I think she's going to be a bigger star because you know Izzy and George are going to be leaving, which is going to give more airtime, I think, for this story.
Okay, I want to say this about Izzy and George too. By the way, about Izzy. If you're like me and you go to Perez Hilton, the gossip column site, mm-hmm. He has a thing about Catherine Hagel, Izzy. And I guess
that
she
doesn't like her or he does?
He doesn't like her, and I guess she has a reputation for being difficult and diva-esque. There's always been stories how she's been a total bitch on her new movie that she's working on, and somebody just said she was a bitch on her last movie. I don't know her, so I don't know if that's true. I do know that that our dear friend and co-host Alexander Billings has worked with her twice,
yeah,
and she loves her.
And so she is the kindest, sweetest, generous person. I think it's really just been, you know, there has been bad blood going
on that show,
Grey's Anatomy, yeah, for a real
I just
want to
say
time.
That, like, usually I not that I believe everything I read, but Perez Hilton is generally pretty spot on, but I do want to just throw a different perspective into that story, because I know that Alex really loves this girl.
And really loves TR. I've heard he's a super nice guy, too. I think that this has been a weird way in which actors got uppity, which uppity meant what used to happen to women. And so now it's happening to a woman, and it's happening to a gay man.
Right. Did Betty Davis fight for no reason?
Who spoke out against Isaiah Washington, who spoke out around a lot of the bullshit that was happening on that show. And, you know, our good friend Alexander Billings was on that set.
Right,
like
during all of
2 weeks before the whole thing went down. And she said it was like a capsule about to explode when she was there. She didn't know what
it was.
She
said that before it all exploded.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. 2 weeks before. She said something, there was so much tension on that set that, you know, you could cut it with a knife. So I think that they've both gotten a bad rap, and I think there's probably been a lot of apparent jealousy that her career really took off. I mean, Sandra Oh was in Sideways, but then nothing else happened.
Right.
And
because Sandra Oh, does anybody else get that? No, I think Sandra Oh is quite a brilliant actress, you know. But does anybody ever get the sense when you see her at award shows that she has an almost naked, sharpened knife-like ambition that she needs to tuck away? Because I think that's why she doesn't work more. Because it's very unattractive when she makes appearances.
I don't know.
She's like Tracy Flick. She turns. You know Tracy Flick is that character from Election? I see a Tracy Flick whenever I see Sandra Oh on TV.
Yeah.
I think, put it away, lady, because we want to like you because you're funny and talented. But when you have this naked, raw, almost carnivorous ambition, it doesn't make me want to watch you.
Yeah, which I get a little bit from Dempsey, too. But
well, Dempsey's just psyched. I think you're right. I think Dempsey's like, I got it back. And he's holding on.
I just feel like, though, that Katherine Heigl and Tierra Knight have gotten a bad rap. And they got to take the fall for a lot of stuff, and the networks let them because they both spoke out and because she's going to have a big rocketed career, and they needed to hold on to her for a while. And I don't think she wanted to be held on to. She went out of her contract, and she hasn't been able to get out of it. So I think it's going to happen, you know. And
speaking of award shows, like celebrities and award shows, I just have to share this.
Yes.
You know, being an actor and a gay man, you know, the Oscars are a big deal. I'm sure you've already talked about the Oscars. I know you and Kelly did. But I just have to tell you, I don't know if I told you this, but one of my best friends in the whole world, this woman, Rachel, was an amazing writer, comic person who happens to be one of Justin Timberlake's personal writers, her and her husband. They write whenever he makes public appearances. Anyway, she was the date of a very big star.
You can't tell us?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a gossip. Anyway, she got to go to the Oscars. Yes. She was the date of like one of the presenters at the Oscars. So she
not really said, not the date because they
no,
were
not
straight.
Like sexual date. No, yeah. I mean like best gal pals. They've been gal pals for like, you know, 15 years. Anyway, this so my friend Rachel got to go. Actually, I'm friends with both of these ladies. So that's why I don't want to name drop. But anyway, she got to go to the Oscars, and she sat in the third row. Yep. She sat three rows in front of all the Slumdog kids.
Yep.
And she texted me through the whole Oscars. It was so funny.
You should have saved all those texts.
I know. No, it was so funny. She's talking about people's clothes and about how hot Daniel Craig is.
I think Daniel Craig's hot.
And that Hugh Jackman is just the most delicious. And she got to be backstage in the green room, and she met all these people, and she went to the parties. And she sent me a picture of her and the celebrity date in their hotel room getting ready, so I knew what she was wearing before she came
out. You saw it on television?
Yeah, she wore Zac Posen, if that's any clue to the real fashionistas. Anyway, it was super fun to have like somebody literally sitting at the Oscars texting you. Like at one point she texted me, Angelina is looking at Brad with such fuck me eyes that if he doesn't fuck her, I'm going to.
Wow.
Yeah. It was so fun. I don't know why I brought it up except maybe award shows made me think of it. It was literally like such a dream come true. Like the next best thing would be like being there myself, but to have a friend sitting in the third row texting me about all that's going on.
Now, what were you telling me before we started recording today about the Hannity?
Did anybody read about this or see this on fucking Hannity and Combs?
No, I didn't see it.
Anyway, he bitched that the Oscars aren't family friendly. There's no more family friendly programming. He's bitching about it. And I'm like, what is he talking about? There's no family friendly program. You can't watch anything with your kids. All this sex and violence. And you know what he was talking about?
Milk.
The three instances on a 3.5-hour broadcast where they showed two men kissing.
Oh.
Families can't watch this anymore. Because two straight actors playing roles, kissed for a blip of a second in a montage on the Oscars. Now, some clever person put together a montage of all the kisses that happened on that entire broadcast, and there are 14 straight kisses, some without very many clothes on, or wet, you know, like soaking wet with like clingy clothes, and then three demure kisses between Sean Penn and James Franco.
Yeah.
And this is what this guy's bitching about. So you know what? Fucking people write letters. It's such hypocrisy. You can't just say that and get people riled up. If he does say it and we don't do or say anything about it,
right?
Then we deserve it. We deserve the bad press because that's bullshit.
It is.
Three cute little demure kisses between two straight actors in an Academy Award winning film is somehow an endangerment to children.
Well, why did children need to watch the Oscars anyhow? And you know what? They went up 13.7% this year.
But I just say fuck you to that guy. And anybody with the ability to write a letter or drop an email should say fuck you to that guy.
All right. Why don't you give us why don't you post it on your Facebook page?
I will.
And we'll just say fuck you. Douche. I don't have a Facebook.
I just posted a fabulous clip of Annie Lennox on David Letterman too, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
It's a really great
CD?
No, it's this old performance where they just sit on his couch and play when the day goes down. It's brilliant. Go to my Facebook page.
I can't, but you can bring your computer down. I don't have a Facebook page.
Go to Kelly's.
I'll go to Kelly's. Because then you can Facebook get to mine. Hey, speaking of these kind of iconic singers and Annie Lennox, Dolly Parton has released an exclusive CD, but she's releasing it exclusively with the Cracker Barrel. What the frack, Dolly? What is going on? I understand.
I don't even know what
has...
that means. What do you mean, like the restaurants, the Cracker Barrel? You can
yeah,
only
you
get
know,
it
like,
there.
It's like the one. Yeah,
oh, I've think... been to one, but like you can only.
I think you can only get it there.
Well, what's on it? What's on the CD?
I think it's songs.
New songs?
I don't know. I'm not very good at my journalistic job. But I got this little thing that, like, what is Dolly thinking that she's doing a CD with the Cracker Barrel
Maybe.
Because she's so gay friendly? Now, I understand that's her whole other demographic. You know, she does the albums yeah. on patriotism and stuff like that, but she's such a friend of the gays. And the Cracker
she
Barrel,
absolutely is.
Not a friend of the gays anymore. I, you know, and it saddens me because I love their biscuits. And I have just said no to their biscuits for over 15 years.
That's interesting. You know, it's funny because I haven't heard anything about this. You know, I'm such a media whore.
Yeah.
A pop culture whore.
You'll have to look into it.
Is it attached? Maybe it's... I have to look into it because maybe it's attached to some other sort of charitable thing in which the proceeds are going towards something. You know,
I don't know.
She's very protective of, like, the South and, you know, where
she
comes from.
I'll try to find that information out.
Dolly, come back. No, she loves us.
Come back to Five and Time,
Dolly
Parton,
Dolly
Parton. She loves
us. I think of her and Patti LaBelle in this way that, like, these two women who are icons, legends, and very, very, very religious, which, yep. you know, I don't really get, but very Jesus-heavy. And
you're sitting across from one. It's okay.
I get it. No, I don't get it.
You love us. I just feel like blonde hair and we're all from Tennessee. That's
right.
What
I mean,
happens.
I love that, but, you know, I'm just saying I don't get it. But what the difference between them and a lot of people who are sort of publicly,
yeah.
you know, Jesus people, follower of the spaceman's suicidal son, is that they're inclusive of the gays and the lesbians. They're very inclusive, you know, they don't equate loving Jesus with hating the queers.
Yeah.
And so I love those ladies, so I mean, I'm curious to see what this
well,
is all about.
Because we're not sure if she's one of us or not.
I don't think she is. I don't get gayed out from Dolly.
I know.
But listen, you know, I'm
quoting a movie now. What is that? Judy.
Well, it's Cary Grant, but he never actually said it.
No, it's Private Benjamin. It's Eileen Brennan.
Oh.
Judy Benjamin. Judy.
I think, like, if my best friend, David, suddenly became famous, mm-hmm. and it came out, the pictures of him and I...
Would you both have your name on the car insurance on your car?
Why?
Well, because they both have their name on her car insurance. Haven't you seen For the Love of Dolly on...
We might, but that's what I'm saying. Like, whenever David comes to visit or I go visit, we like, his wife will come home from work, and he and I will be literally laying on the couch cuddling. He's a totally heterosexual man.
Okay.
And there's so many pictures over the 25 years of
it. I just want
her to be gay. I know. I'm just saying that, like...
My father would be so upset. He told me, he was like, if I found that out, it would just kill me. Because he has loved Dolly Parton his whole life.
I'm
and
just saying
if I found out, that would kind of delight me, but there you go.
This is why I don't want her to be gay, because I need to believe that there is people, straight people, who are as cool as that, and I know that it's true because my best friend is. And like I said, if any of the pictures of Dave and I of our 25 years of friendship of ridiculous behavior got out and he was famous, it would very much look like he and I had been having this sort of secret affair for 25 years, right? Because we were very close friends and very intimate, and I assure you, Maria, that we're not. And so I think that it just is more of a testament to what an open, beautiful person she is, that she yeah. has this extraordinary friendship with this woman.
Yeah.
That there's possibilities of having...
Well, she is a mountain woman. You know,
she's
it's all
woman.
Different. It's just different
it's
when
just
you're
different.
A mountain girl.
I do love me some Dolly.
Hey, on our show today, Gregory Douglas. I'm kind of falling in love with this guy. Sexy, sexy, cute, talented singer-songwriter. And he himself kind of went to a retreat to create this... new CD that we're featuring here on the show. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Gregory Douglas, you're going to be glad I turned you on to him.
Really?
And
I'm already turned on.
Turn you on.
Cereal.
Celebrating over 30 years as Chicago's own internationally acclaimed contemporary dance company, Hubbard Street Dance Chicago presents its 2009 Celebrity Cast Party, a GLBT event. Join the dancers and fans of Hubbard Street Dance on Sunday, April 5th, for a matinee performance and a party immediately following at the Fairmont Chicago, featuring signature cocktails, delicious hors d'oeuvres, dancing, and more. You won't want to miss the fun, fabulous event. Tickets start at $125 and are available now at hubbardstreetdance.com or by calling 312-850-9744, extension 164. Hubbard Street Dance Chicago thanks Exelon, Center on Halsted, the Fairmont Chicago, and Windy City Media Group for support of this event.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. An East Texas man has been ordered to stand trial in the murder of a gay man more than 37 years ago in San Diego. Gerald D. Metcalf was arrested last year after a cold case squad matched him with evidence from the 1971 crime. Authorities say Metcalf, then 24, murdered then 27-year-old Gerald Jackson by stabbing him 61 times.
In Washington, D.C., Todd Bellick, a freshman at George Washington University, has been kicked out of the Navy ROTC program because he brought his boyfriend to a party. Bellick entered the program fully aware of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. However, he did not think that being open about his sexuality outside of the military ranks was going to get him in trouble.
New York City police have arrested one attacker who yelled anti-gay and ethnic slurs and beat an Ecuadorian immigrant to death on a city street. Hakeem Scott, 25, was arrested in the December 7th attack on real estate broker Jose Sucujene, who was attacked as he walked arm-in-arm with his brother to keep warm. Authorities are still looking for a second suspect.
And in world news, the European Parliament Committee on Petitions has accepted a petition from the Polish gay rights group, the Campaign Against Homophobia, on the discriminatory practices of registry offices. The organization said the Polish registry office has refused to issue certificates to same-sex couples.
New rules in Cambodia will prevent several groups, including gays and lesbians, from adopting children. Others banned are single individuals, low-income couples, and those who already have two children. Same-sex acts are legal in the country, and the king expressed support for gay marriage in 2004.
In Australia, Edward Young has won a legal battle to receive his deceased partner's pension. Young's partner of 38 years, Larry Keynes, served with the Australian Army in Borneo during World War II. In November, the Australian government passed laws allowing gay partners of soldiers to claim their pensions.
Italian singer Giuseppe Povia caused outrage over Luca Was Gay, a song about a gay man who becomes straight. Povia launched the song at the Sanremo Festival.
The Hungarian government has approved a new bill on registered partnerships for same-sex couples. Support for the bill in the parliament is still an open question. Executive power is exercised by the government. Legislative power is vested in both the government and parliament.
Controversial Canadian gay writer Scott Simons, whose scandalous life in 1967 novel Place d'Armes rocked Canada's literary world, has died at age 75. Place d'Armes featured a gay protagonist, a male prostitute, and was published when homosexuality was still a crime in Canada.
And in entertainment news, in Newport Beach, California, Corona Del Mar High School will put on a production of Rent after all. Earlier this month, drama advisor Ron Martin complained Principal Fal Azrani made him drop Rent because of its gay characters. However, Azrani said, "I never had a problem with the play selected."
In his new movie, director Guy Ritchie is turning Sherlock Holmes gay. Holmes, played by Robert Downey Jr., engages in a homoerotic relationship with his sidekick, Dr. Watson, portrayed by Jude Law. Downey said, "We're two men who happen to be roommates, wrestle a lot, and share a bed. It's badass."
And some ass. The remake of the movie Fame will feature a gay character just like the original. In the 1980 film, Paul McCrane played gay teen Montgomery. In the new version, Paul McGill plays Kevin, a gay student who reportedly has a significant role.
And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, I'm Amy Ray, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Hello, this is Mary Testa.
And Jackie Hoffman.
From the Broadway musical smash Xanadu. And we have something very important we need to talk to you about.
Happiness.
Speak the truth, Sister Jackie.
Are you content with your life? Are you frustrated? Do you come home at the end of the day and go, "What the hell was that about?"
If so, and we think you might, then you could use a laugh.
A good one, or two.
Or a bazillion. And we know just where you can get them.
At Xanadu.
People, it's the biggest surprise hit in Broadway history, with an adorable love story, fabulous songs, inspired hilarity, all wrapped up in a sweet 90 minutes.
I love that part. You're home in time for Top Chef.
Oh, and if you think we're that crappy 80s movie, think again.
Please, the critics are gaga for this thing. The New Yorker actually called us ridiculously brilliant. I do not lie.
So it's not like we're therapists or anything, but if you want to get happy, you could take pills, or you could come and see Xanadu.
For tickets to Xanadu, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 9th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the dynamic Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago, March 13th and 14th at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance, where world-class gifted artists bring to life a stunning repertoire of dance. Tickets start at just $15 each with the code WCT through March 8th. Visit harristheaterchicago.org.
When the mistress is away, the maids will play. Don't miss the seductive French production, The Maids by Jean Genet, at Writers Theater. The Chicago Sun-Times raves that the actresses are magnificent, and the Chicago Tribune calls it accomplished and provocative. Order your tickets for The Maids at writerstheater.org.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Patricia Callenber, formerly of TV Sisters. Playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
Shrouded in mystery, six ordinary people grapple with the emotional casualties of war in Old Glory, the latest work from Brett Nouveau, one of Chicago's hottest young playwrights. Playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe through March 29th. Visit writerstheater.org for tickets to Old Glory.
Come see the Tony Award-winning musical Hairspray. The New York Post says it's a great, big, fat, gorgeous hit. Only three shows at the Center for Performing Arts at Governor State University, March 13th and 14th. For tickets to Hairspray, visit centertickets.net.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Life is a fable I've never believed in.
Songwriter Gregory Douglas may be familiar to fans for his music video Hang Around, which ran 6 months on Logo TV's Clicklist Top 10 Video Countdown in 2008, or possibly his beautiful previous CD Up and Away. Well, now Gregory has a new CD, Battler, that is a lyrical, diverse collection filled with heart and soul and true charisma. He is a star. I am telling you, he draws you in with his smooth voice and his beautiful melodies, and hopefully, since he's out on tour, he is coming to a town near you so you can experience Gregory live. But we're thrilled to have him live here on the Windy City Queercast. Hey, Gregory, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You know, you are new to me, and I get so excited when I get a CD and I'm not familiar with an artist, and I generally put it right in my computer because I'm always at my desk. And I just have to tell you congratulations, because this CD that is coming out this week is absolutely a fantastic CD to lift my spirits, at least in Chicago, about spring and heading. I think this CD is going to be in my car all summer long is what I can tell you.
Thank you so much.
So tell me, because I want to talk about this CD because it has a really interesting story, but I just like to know, where are you from and what were kind of your early musical influences?
Well, I'm from Burlington, Vermont, way up north. And I don't know. I guess I listened to a lot of female singer-songwriters pretty early on. I was really big into musical theater, hence all of the dramatic undertones of everything you're hearing probably. And but then I heard songwriters like Tori Amos and Suzanne Vega and, you know, a lot of singer-songwriters that were just doing everything themselves, which really fascinated me. And there was a lot of depth to what they were writing, which also fascinated me. So I just I just went full throttle and kind of taught myself how to play the piano and then moved on to the guitar and just started writing my own stuff and didn't really look back, you know?
Yeah. Now, where in all of that did coming out and your sexuality figure into your music making? Was it kind of an outlet for you, as we hear with many queer artists?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was definitely parallel, I think. You know, I think, well, I came out when I was like 14, so I did get kind of an early start, but everything was in turmoil, of course, and I think a lot of these songwriters really spoke to me during that time, so it definitely helped make that transition.
We're let's talk about this CD in particular, Battler. Where does the title come from?
Well, actually, when I discovered the birthday, but I don't know if you're familiar with the secret language of birthdays. It's just this big, thick astrology book, and there are two pages for every day. And I read my day, and it really amazed me at how accurate it was, you know. And then I was reading other people's days, close family and friends, and some of these were like their biography, practically.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait, what is your birthday? So we can go and read all about you. Once they see how sexy you are, they're going to want to.
I'm December 19th, and it's actually the day of the Hellraiser.
Oh!
I know, I was terrified when I first read that, but it was actually very accurate and very interesting. And
wow.
Then I read my father's day, and his day is Day of the Battler. So... Oh. And his was literally the most accurate of all of them. And so that inspired me to write a song. It really helped me to learn a lot about him, actually,
mm-hmm.
and understand him a little bit more, you know, be a little bit more objective.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, but then whenever I think of what I want to call an album, I kind of, there usually tends to be a trend because a lot of the songs tend to be written around the same time. And I really thought a lot of it was autobiographical, and I kind of can relate to a lot of, I have a lot of my father in me, and I've sort of always had to kind of fight for the right to be myself on a personal level. And also in this music industry, it's just crazy, you know, it's been so transitional for so long, and I'm still totally independent. And there are a lot of incentives to that, but it's really an incredible struggle to maintain things on a, you know, full time.
Mm-hmm.
So I really could relate to that title. So I went for that title.
I'm the day of the wanderer. I actually
really?
Know my day.
You have it in front of you, or are you familiar?
No, I'm familiar. You know, it's very funny, but the editor of our show, the Queercast, and she'll be listening to this when she puts this show together, but she has all those books, and we all looked them up. I'm pretty sure I'm the Day of the Wanderer, if you have it. I mean, the Wanderer, I think it is. It's Wanderer or Traveler, but I think it's Wanderer. I have, like, Wanderlust. Everybody always used to tell me that. So that's very exciting, and I'm going to give you a tip of a book. You need to read Astrology for the Soul and then find out people in your family and what they are and what you are on that, too. It's a really good book about your nodes. I think it's about your North Node. We're getting off on astrology, Gregory, but I feel I know you so well after listening to this whole CD. So.
I'm writing it down right now.
I know. I'm going to email you later the name of the writer. I can't remember. I'll have to go in another room and find it, but I know it's called Astrology for the Soul.
Okay.
It's fascinating. So talk to me. I mean, really, throughout the years of interviewing queer music artists, you know, this conversation has been apparent for the past decade of being an independent artist. You know, the music business has changed a lot in 10 years. Of course, now all of you artists can have fantastic MySpace pages, and there are new and wonderful ways in which to get your music out there. But have you hit walls in trying to be the kind of artist you want to be and get representation, or is it something you have chosen not to do?
Yes, I definitely think it's a combination of both. I mean, the more that I do things on my own, the more competent I feel, and the less I'm willing to give away any piece of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's definitely been
a struggle. Yeah. And then when I was a little bit more naive and a little bit more full of myself, I was very like, no, I'm going to do things the way I want to do things and on my high horse, and really wanted to continue to pave the way for myself, you know, Ani DeFranco style, just totally releasing records all the time, reminding people that you're still there, and being a tour hound. And that's what I've done for the past 10 years practically. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely worked up to a point, but there was, I've definitely felt this kind of a flatlining the past few years, because now, like you said, so many people are independent for so many reasons. I mean, it's kind of a can of worms, but you know, with labels not making the kind of money that they used to, because they still haven't really harnessed the illegal downloading, you know, and even legitimate downloading is significantly less than what they were making before. And
right.
I think it's great to see these established artists going independent. They kind of have the best case scenario because they've already made a name for themselves. So all the more power to them. But then there are so many of us that are just still kind of struggling from the ground up. But I think you really just choose your battles, again, with the whole battle thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's so many incentives to you know, pros and cons to every decision. And, it's expensive to do things on your own. I think that's the biggest difference. So, that was kind of a tangent. I kind of lost my point.
No, it's good. You know, I mean, I'm just realizing then how significant it is that now we have shows like the Click List and ways for artists to really gather that visual, the identity, the personality that can come through of that early MTV generation. You know, the MTV doesn't really play videos anymore. So what did that mean to you in 2008, kind of having more of that recognition as you're now, you know, out on tour with this new CD? I'm sure that was hugely helpful.
Definitely. Yeah, that has been probably the most significant outlet logo and just having that niche market, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely helped. It's definitely been a major incentive.
Yeah.
I think having videos on logo has been amazing. And it's a great thing that they're doing independent, unknown artists equally as much as household name artists.
And I know,
it's really
I really wish they would do more. You know, I wish the ratio was kind of 1 per 5. I'm not sure that it is, but I wish it was, you know, 1 Beyonce for every 4 fantastic queer artists out there. But at least it's there. It's one of the few places to actually enjoy music videos and very diverse, you know, different artists. So talk to me, because I mentioned television, because I think you're influenced by television. I hear that the muse for this project was a television show. Tell me about your sabbatical making Battler and the inspiration for it.
Oh man, well, it was probably one of the hardest times in life, and like I was saying, that feeling that kind of flatlining over the past few years, and feeling like, man, you know, how am I going to continue to maintain this? You know, something's got to give. You know, I've been kind of waiting for that unexpected magical connection to happen to really just change the course of things, and most of the time I feel so grateful and proud of where I'm at this point. But sometimes, you know, when there are all the negative things are in your face, it's hard to remember that. And I think that was where I was at, leading right into the dead of winter, of course, so that didn't help. But
we know nothing about that in Chicago.
Right. Of course not.
The winter that never ends, except for a few months for us to repair the roads.
Oh, my God. It's parallel in Burlington. It really is.
Yeah.
And so, but all these people were telling me, you have to see 6 Feet Under. I can't believe you haven't seen 6 Feet Under. And it just kept coming up randomly. And I thought, all right, well, maybe I'll just, you know, go full on in this winter and totally bathed myself in my own misery and watched 60 Feet Under and drink red wine. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did all winter, and it was fabulous. I mean, it was so cathartic, you know, and an incredible series, but I really could relate to a lot of things in it, and it just brought up a lot of interesting conversations with friends, it was totally inspiring. So almost all the songs were written during that chunk of time, and it was just what I needed to kind of kick my own ass, you know.
Well, that television show really deals with the father and the son, and very much. And
yeah.
It is a theme that you've already mentioned with your song, Day of the Battler, which is where the title is derived from. And the album is really diverse. I mean, you have what I'd call kind of haunting ballads and some that have more skip to their step. And you also have a beautiful a cappella number. That I think is strongly layered with your relationship with your father, called No Apology. How did that song come about?
That was definitely one of the first songs to that I was working on. You basically called it. And of course, I was really listening to a lot of Imogen Heap earlier on, and I thought, when I heard her a cappella song, Hide and Seek, I thought, I want one of those, you know? So I just was ruthless about it. I'm like, I could produce this totally differently, or I can just be full-on ruthless about it, and I chose to be ruthless. So that is my Imogen Heap song.
Now, the song that's your last track, Ordinary Man, you get to collaborate with Grace Potter, and you have some other collaborations on this CD. How did that come about, and how do you decide who you want to work with on a CD, and how are those connections made?
Well, this whole thing was such a homegrown experience. I just wanted to perpetuate that, I guess, and Grace Potter, both Grace Potter and Anais Mitchell, who also sings on a song, are Vermonters, we all kind of grew up in the indie local scene, you know, and we all sort of knew each other, and we're playing the same room, I wouldn't go as far as saying we were all best friends, but I felt comfortable enough to put that out to them, and they were so receptive. They're both still so humble, you know, regardless of, aside from their recent successes on their own, you know, and so it was just really kind of a magical thing to have them, and I just put it out there, and they were psyched to be on board.
Do you have a dream person that you would love to collaborate with or sing with? I mean, if you could think as big as you can think, is there somebody that truly is to you like the ultimate?
The ultimate is Kate Bush in my world.
Oh,
Kate
I love
Bush
her.
Rules my world.
Oh God, that would be amazing. I can hear you guys.
Still out there doing her thing. It's possible.
Yeah.
Although I also tend to really fall for the powerhouse singers. Like, you know, I've definitely been having a love affair with Brandi Carlile, I would love to sing with her someday.
Mm-hmm. All right, you need to send some of your CDs to their people. That's what I'm saying, especially Kate Bush.
Absolutely.
I can hear that happening. So the first single that you're really pushing, I'm assuming you're making a video for it, which is Cathedrals. I'm hoping that we will
get
to see something on Logo for that. I guess you can go as open about how autobiographical this song is or not. I mean, obviously it's, really exploring addiction. It's exploring religion. You know, we've seen so much. Lord Ted Haggard was just on Oprah. So we've obviously dealt with, this in kind of a mainstream front page tabloid kind of way, and then there's also a very personal feel to this song. What can you tell me about Cathedrals?
Well, again, you're kind of nailing it. I mean, I think that there
I think that religion carries so much suppression, you know, and I've always felt that way for such a while. And, you know, I'm of course always psychoanalyzing everything and writing about it. But, and I base everything I believe on patterns pretty much. And I feel like with all these patterns and happening with the cause and effect of religion and the history of everything. I mean, again, can of worms, I'm just trying to sum it all up here. But
were you raised in a really religious environment?
You know, I really wasn't, but I sort of feel like I can't really escape it in many ways, you know. And it amazes me how many people don't kind of aren't really able to just think for themselves in the sense of, like, you know, just kind of challenging what is widely accepted, you know, just for the sake of that's what's widely accepted. I've never really been able to do that. And again, that comes back to, like, I've just always fought for what I really believe, whether people agree with me or not, you know. And I just think there's a lot of there's just a lot of suppression. And, you know, I dealt with my own sexual addiction issues earlier on in life, and I have several friends who have dealt with the same thing. So I really, and that has been a hot topic with, you know, and it's amazing how connected that's been to religion and one story after another about that. So I really thought that that was something I wanted to kind of help expose, a dirty truth that I wanted to help expose, you know. And the video, that is the first video, and hopefully that should be coming out soon, in the next week or two. But it's a very controversial video, and it's not really holding back at all. So I'm excited to see people's reactions to it.
Yeah. How do you enjoy touring the U.S., and are you excited about touring this CD? I mean, you're in the middle of your tour. You're in New England. You're heading to New York, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Florida, Georgia, Texas, for South by Southwest, Arizona, California, Utah, even Missouri. You are coming to Chicago on May 8th at Uncommon Ground. You're playing a house party in Naperville here outside the city. There's as much diversity to your audience, I would imagine, as there is for in your CD. I mean, are you anticipating a great tour, and do you love touring and playing live?
I do. I love it. It's always been one of my favorite part about this whole thing, you know. And I definitely have been touring for a while, and I got a little burned out a while back, so I took this past year off and really tried, you know, not off, but, you know, I really limited my touring, and I tried to focus more on the album and everything, and it was a much-needed chunk of time off, and now I'm totally psyched to get back on board, and I've put a lot more lead time into this album, so I definitely am a lot more psyched to spread the word about it. And I'll be on the road for like 3 months. I'm actually in Rhode Island right now for a college show, but yeah, I'll be back in Chicago soon. And Chicago's one of my favorite cities, by the way. So I can't wait to come back there.
Well, it'll be good to be here in May. It's starting to thaw by May. It's just starting. We're going to baseball games
exactly.
in wool sweaters, you know? That's May to all of us.
Yeah. Well, I've learned the hard way that spring is the time to tour, so I've sort of saved up all of my energy and thrown it all into the spring.
Yeah. So I want to know what new TV series your whole next CD is going to be inspired by, like Mad Men or Dexter, since you're the Hellraiser. I'm just waiting, you know, maybe that's a nice gift for somebody to give you, you know, 3 seasons of a certain fabulous television show. And you can spend another few months conjuring up your next your next masterpiece. But really, guys, this is a great CD. Gregory Douglas, Battler. It is in stores now. His website is extensive. So if you go to gregorydouglas.com, and we'll have that linked in our show notes, you can find out everywhere that he's touring, because I am sure he is coming somewhere to a town near you. You can get the CD and find out more about Gregory and his work. And all the best to you. I hope I get to meet you when you're here in May. I will really make every attempt to make that happen.
Thank you.
All right,
Thank
Gregory.
Thank you so much. I would love that.
And have a great safe tour.
Thank you.
Center on Halsted proudly announces the Party of the Season, the Human First Gala, Saturday, March 21st in the Grand Ballroom of the Hyatt Regency Chicago. Begin the evening at 6:30 with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, followed by the Human First Awards, honoring State Representative Sarah Feigenholz, State Representative Greg Harris, Mr. Joseph Lundy, and the Knight Ministry. Then a delicious dinner and dancing with the sounds of Malik's Ultimate Band. The Human First Gala is Saturday, March 21st. Get your tickets now. For reservations, visit centeronhalsted.org. Valet parking is available. Dress is black tie optional.
So, Mitchell, it's we've got a couple more podcasts with you before you go.
Yeah.
Next week, I'll be telling you all, everybody, about my vacation. And also, Stephen Rader and I are doing a two-part series on comics. Not the funny kind, like Mitchell Fain, but the printed graphic novel kind.
Ooh.
With Watchmen coming out, and also, or Watchmen being out, and also just GLBTs in comics today. Stephen is a huge graphic novel fan.
Like the Batwoman that's going to be a lesbian?
There you go. We're going to be in a comic book store here in Chicago, in Bucktown, and hanging out with the gays and comics. And I'm looking forward to it, because it's a whole world I don't know much about. But I had a request that we should have this on the show, talk to Stephen, because he's the guy to do it. And perfect timing with what's going on.
Fantastic.
Right now. So look forward to that two-parter. And other than that, I hope you all have a sunny, sunny time like me.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy your trip.
Beach between my toes.
Ew.
Ooh.
I like it. Stop it for a moment. You
are beautiful. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.